Ephesians, the third chapter, and we're going to start at the 13th. It's, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto you that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory and the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Then if you want to, we can read in the fourth chapter of the same book, Ephesians. And we're going to start with the 17th. And it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." So here we find a group of people that Paul says that we can, that are able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of who God is, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And then we find a group of people here that the Bible says that has their understanding darkened, are alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Now, we listened to the book of Ephesians, I think, 3 or 4 times this week, wanting to fully comprehend what Paul was trying to communicate to those at Ephesus. And what stood out in our mind was those which had past knowledge, and then those that were past feeling. We know that it says in 2 Corinthians, I can't remember what chapter, but it speaks about those. It says, "Now therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." And I think that that would be a call to each and every one of us, that if we truly know the terror of the Lord, that we persuade men. That this is not as an argument, or as it were, a dialogue between two people. And it really doesn't matter what the outcome might be, but we know that these questions that men ponder in their mind that have eternal consequences, that it is very vital that me and you persuade men. That we might not necessarily win the argument. It's not about proving that we're right and someone's wrong. It's not about showing them they're wrong, but it's that we are to persuade men. And I was thinking about that, and I because we read 2 Corinthians this week, and we were thinking about the obligation that me and you have in order that we might persuade men. Once again, I said it's not always about proving that we know what's right, but that we might persuade men. There's a many a time that we can present we can present an argument, as it were, and we can convince everybody in the room that we know what we're talking about, but that's not persuade them. That simply let them know, as it were, to have a knowledge about maybe who God is. But the Bible says here that we can have a relationship, not a simple knowing, but a relationship with God Almighty.
it takes to persuade those that are full of unbelief. Those that have knowledge. Those who think they know. It stops right there. What I want for this church is that we might be able to stand and testify of the goodness of God. And how do we do that? We do that with that which passeth knowledge. We do that if we have yet still got the feelings that the Lord has blessed each and every Christian to have. He speaks about those that were Gentiles, that were past feeling. Listen, have you ever tried to witness to somebody? There's an anger there, an anger for God, an anger against God's people. Listen, that is not as desperate of a situation as those that are past feeling, those that they were that are persuaded there is no God. And all that we see here, all that we have come together for today, is nothing. But I'm thankful for those that will persuade men, or those that have waited out, for those that have passed knowledge, those that have, as it were, know the height of the breadth, the length and the depth of who God is. How do we find that? We find it, as Paul said, in tribulation. Listen, we serve a mighty God that could choose, as it were, to send us on a journey. And on that journey, no discomfort to come. But listen, we serve a God who is able in all of His power to deliver us in a world of chaos and in a world, as it were, that is seems to be so out of control. You know, if God worked that way, we would have a knowing, as it were, a knowledge of who He is. But where would come the faith? You know, we was reading this week, William Bradford, he wrote about the pilgrims that come. We're coming around to Thanksgiving, and we've been reading the account that William Bradford, which was, I believe, the first governor of the pilgrims there in Massachusetts, and he wrote on them, but I've not got very far in the book, but he talks about the hardships of a group of people, that all they wanted to do is serve the Lord as they see fit. There's people still yet trying to do that today, but you know what? Give a man a platform, and he'll tell you what his convictions are. And anytime he does, there's going to be those offended. There's going to be those angry. There's going to be those indifferent. But let us be thankful that there are some that still get angry. Listen. Some that I've tried to witness to, and the anger is such that I cannot share with them the Lord. But thanks be to God, they're not past feeling as of yet. That they have an anger that our lives in the administration of God's grace might prove to them, though they believe the lie that was told back there in the garden. But God don't want you eating of any other fruit that's in the garden. In other words, God don't want you to have any fun. But that ain't what God said. But God said, I have given you all things but for this one tree in the center of the garden. You can't eat of it all right now. So there are men in each and every generation that are trying to do as they see God's Holy Scripture says. And there was some, and their name was, they call them the pilgrims. I don't know who first gave them that name, but no doubt it was because of old Abraham. He was looking. The Bible says, seeking for a city not built by man's hands. And there was those that were just wanting the place to be able to worship the Lord and to be able to print a track without getting the permission of the King of England. And so they heard there was religious freedom in Holland. A 14-day journey by ship and become a small congregation wanting to live peaceably among men. But the master of that ship turned them in. The man was thrown into prison. That doesn't speak about the goods, but I'd say the goods of that company, the man, the owner of that ship, kept, and no doubt sold. The hardship that there must have been. There was some there, no doubt, that said, "Oh, this must not be the will of God." Some of the men in prison for not following the laws of the land. And within a year, they come together and they found another man that would take them. And so, they were making plans that they would get little boats and they'd meet at the shore and they'd go out on this ship. And as they were loading up, here come the horde of the king's horses, the king's chariots, as it were. And the ship was there and they were loading. The men were on the ship loading the goods. And the man of the ship says, "We gotta go. Look at the armed guards." And they left. And as they see, they were weeping. The Bible, the book said, they cried. And they left their women there. No doubt somebody said, "It must not be the will of God, or it would have went easy." Not the way faith is. We must believe God in the good times as well as in the bad. But it is in the bad times that we can understand the depth, the breadth, the length, the height of who God is. Listen, and it'll go past knowledge. And those that have a simple knowledge of who God is, as it were, a two-dimensional picture, we can say, "Look at who he is." Oh, they didn't know as they gathered the women and some of the men left behind. They didn't know what to do with them. There were so many women that they threw them into prison there being outcried. But they couldn't return them to their homes because so many of them had sold all that they had to go there to Holland. Was to worship God in freedom. Listen, look what we have today. Hey, we don't take advantage of it. But I want to tell you, church, if you want to persuade me, you've got to be one that is willing to find out who God is. To go beyond the two-dimensional picture that the world has drawn. We need to be moved. Let us not one of us be as the Gentiles here that it was mentioned about, that were past feeling. Listen, I heard on the news, on the radio, on Christian radio, they said that there are so many, as it were, evangelicals that have got away from the Word of God, that they strictly trust, as it were, in emotion, and on they went to say, and they forgot about doctrine. Well, I can't comprehend that, because Daryl gets emotional about the doctrines of God. This is not a feel-good religion, bless your heart, where we can say, "Oh, the love of God makes me want to shout," but a church who knows the breadth, the depth, the length, and even yes, hell. Why? Because those that have reason to rejoice are those who know who their Father is. I heard as they were, and I thought, how sad. They think it's got to be one or the other. The glory to God. Our understanding of who God is can go past knowledge as man would see it. And yes, can rejoice in the feeling of God. God has created us emotional beings. But my salvation is not contingent on how I feel when I get up in the morning. My faith is founded in God and Him alone, in the Lamb's blood of Jesus Christ. And I know that I've passed from death into life. Why? Because He has taken me past a simple knowledge of who He is. I think about it. How do we persuade men? We can speak to them in all eloquent manners, but it's not in our words, but so many times it's in our deeds. I've not fully comprehended why there are those that wanted to run from the pilgrims. The pilgrims of that generation, or the pilgrims of this generation, other than to say that it is their godly conversation. Was the Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Peter, he said, wives, if your husbands are unbelieving, that it is through your conversation that they might be won. But listen, let our conversation be much more than words. I know the Bible is true. I'm fully persuaded that every word of it's true. God did not send it to us to deceive us, but that His face might shine on us, church. We don't walk, listen to me, we don't walk in these eyes. We walk by faith. So then, let our conversation be seasoned with the Word of God. There are no walls that can be built by man or bars that can be built in this universe. This side of hell that cannot be torn down. Bless your Lord. With the prayers of a saint. I know this to be true. The devil would say that there is too. The journey is too great for me. But I want to tell you there is one that holds you in the palm of His hands. And we walk not by sight. Let us walk by faith. These men, they had a 14-day journey to go to Holland. The account was that they didn't see that. Now listen, they're torn away from their wives and their little ones. A lot of them with no money. All they had was the shirt on their back. And listen, the hardship and the heartache is just beginning. Before the seas were run, for 10 days of that 14-day journey, they didn't even see the sun. And it said that the men on the ship, and now not the pilgrims, but the seasoned men that took care of the sails, the ship, said, all is lost. Me and time for the seas were so severe. But yet those on the ship breathed. Lord, bring us to a land where we can gather together. Little did they know that their journey was not over with when they reached Holland. But they prayed, and it made me think of those men on a ship out on the Sea of Galilee. They had come together, and no doubt the sea was calm. And Jesus went into the belly of the ship, as it were, to rest. Listen, now we need to comprehend some of that. The majority of the disciples were fishermen. If they're all been on that boat, and the waves begin to get a foot high, I'd have said, where's Jesus at? Me and him's got to talk. But these were men. When you think of Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they grew up with salt in their hair. They grew up, as it were, living the life of a seaman. And when it was rough, see, I can't imagine how rough it was that they went and they called out to Jesus. But listen, he was in control the whole time. But he wanted to communicate to them that they were. Listen, sometimes hardships come in our lives so that God might show us just how high he is, that he might communicate to us just how broad his chest is, how long his arms are, and how mighty of a God he is, so that we might persuade men. Oh, I want to tell you, I can try to persuade you. I want to tell you the difference between knowledge and between that which passeth knowledge. I was reading this week that the... I'm sorry, my mind fails me sometimes. I believe it's was 30, but I know that it's more than 20. But I'll read in this article that Saturn has, I believe they said, more than 30 moons. But I know that it was more than 20. And I begin to wonder if they really even, with that many moons, and it being so far away, if they really even know how many there is. I'm certain with the microscopes, but I don't know. My knowledge consists of what has been told me. But listen, the whole argument for the space race was that we need to go. We need to go to the moon that we might understand what's there, that we might settle it for once and for all that it's not made of cheese, that we might be there, that we, our knowledge would be more than what it is now. Why? Because of the proximity to it, that we can walk on the moon. I don't know if man will ever reach the moon, so Saturn, but Daryl just has a knowledge that there's more than 20 moons. Well, that was passive knowledge is what Mr. Armstrong can say when he speaks about what's on Earth's moon, that he's not simply stood here on the clear night and looked at the full moon. That's the way the world is. A lot of times when it comes to the things of God, they think they know what they're seeing. But to walk, as it were, and to discover those things that passeth knowledge is to speak about a relationship, that we can be so close to him that I cannot have to say, I believe there's 20 or 30 moons on Saturn. But to stand and be able to say, I know that there's 28 because I've been on every one. That's the difference, church, between a one that would try to persuade men with hollow words and one that would persuade men with a life filled with God's presence. That's what convicts the hearts of men. I can tell you anything, but what will shake a man to the core of his bones is a godly man that will walk in the pathway of righteousness. It will win somebody, as it were, with the holy conversation that he possesses. And the devil says, don't you believe the Bible? And what was the arguments that he come to Eve with? The same argument he comes with man today. That God is trying to deceive you. He cannot be trusted. That what God says he does not mean. And what God talks about he really does not know. But I want to declare to you today that God is who he says he is. And not simply because his word says so, and that would be enough.
but because I know through of the personal relationship that I have with Jesus Christ that He's alive. I don't want to tell you today that He'll change your heart, because the Bible says it, though. The Bible does say it, and it's true. But I want to tell you, He'll change not only the heart of a Jew, not only the heart of a Greek, but the heart of a hillbilly. Because He's changed my heart. And He'll change your heart. I want you to be persuaded. For I know the terror of the Lord. Darrell was one that was so many times interested in winning the argument. And when somebody would come, and it was not that Darrell was looking to offend, but when somebody come and would ask what the Bible says, Darrell not simply wanted to tell them, because people don't ask what the Bible says. They say, what do you believe? But in times past, I was wanting to fully persuade them to see things my way. But you know, we can be very successful at that and still not persuade them to be a Christian. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that words are just words. But it is our actions that define who we are. There's a lot of people in this world that would take issue with it. But those very people will judge who we are by what we do. They will choose to not be with us or near us because of what we do. Because of what we say. Yes, what we say. About what makes it so persuasive is if you live out what you say. Darrell does not walk by sight, as it were. Darrell does not try one thing and then try another, looking for a desired result. But what Darrell is to do is to place his faith in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he might find out what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of who God is. This is the beauty of it. I can live my whole life and I still yet will not reach the depths of who God is. Though if my sole purpose was to find out just how high He was, I would not be able to fully comprehend of the height. But if we are in the center of God's will, this is the blessed assurance that we can rejoice in, and that we are surrounded by Him. He knows what is best. So when we would find ourselves on a ship in the ocean, we can pray as the pilgrims, God's will be done, and find peace in it. My prayer is that there's not a one here that it is past feeling. Having given ourselves over to anything. But sometimes it is the human psyche that when things are painful, we do not think about them. It is really amazing to look at children that have been abused, children that have been left to themselves to raise themselves. Just what the human mind will do to cope with an unbearable circumstance. And so many times, it is to enter a place that is beyond feeling.
But Jesus Christ would have us come and give Him of our burdens. Those things that are so dear to us that we cannot even think about. He wants us to talk to Him about. Oh, and there are those that would have us belittled and demeaned and lowered in the eyes of the world. It is those that have accepted God's meekness and humbleness of heart that are okay with that. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? And Paul was not saying, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at your tribulations. But Paul's tribulations were so sore and so great that he was declaring to those of Ephesus that he would have them not to faint at his suffering. Can you imagine? We're so many times and wrapped up into what's going on with our own life that we take not the time to know what is transpiring in the lives of others. I know not what the future holds, but this I do know. We are of one family, a whole family, that bears the name of Jesus Christ. My desire is that we might persuade men, knowing the terror of the Lord. And how do we do that? By coming to Christ Jesus, bowing before Him on bended knee, and crying out to Him. We mentioned that. We'll mention it again. But there are no bars this side of hell. No prison walls that the prayers of God's children cannot tear down. I can remember when I was in sin and hearing the prayers of my mother. They weren't very loud, although she was crying out to God. She was in the other room with the door closed, and I was in mine with mine closed. Now, the racket of the world was much louder. When I drove down the road with my radio on, it was blaring. When I went to work, the music of the world was blaring there. The noise of the machines, the cursing of the men, was of a volume much higher than the prayers of my mother to my ears. All that the world told me was that God was a lie. But it was through the godly conversation of my mother to her God that tore down the walls I had erected around my life. I've been praying for some. It's not important to mention who they are. But do you realize that God is the author of love? Do you realize that there is no love that's taken place in this universe that God did not create those beings to experience that? I'm not talking about the twisted love or the self-serving lust of one, but I'm talking about the pure and perfect love like a father experiences with his son when he looks into his face for the first time. I truly believe that's God ordained. But that is a picture that God has given to all men of His love for us. And I have prayed that the Lord would endear me to certain individuals, that if you was to ask them today, even themselves, that at best they might be indifferent about me. They might not really care if they ever see me again. But I am praying to a God who holds the universe in His hands. Now, there were some people when I was a teenager that in spite of how I tried to hate them, when I would see their face, I felt emotions of love. And not as a man with a woman, but as a child with a parent or a grandparent or a sibling. I grew up in a community that we lived in. Not that we were as the pilgrims, but that there was a group of people. And remember our church, the majority of our church was from down south, weren't they? And we lived in a community that thought negatively, or at least the guys I worked with, about hillbillies. And there was many a time I tried to think that these people aren't nothing but hicks and hillbillies. But when I would see them out in town with their unique way of talking or dressing or their mannerisms, there was something inside of me that said, Darryl, you're more like them than like everybody else. So I know that God can use relationships to prick the hearts of men. For if we are to persuade men, surely God will use our relationship with Him to reveal to the world that they have not anything of God except the simple two-dimensional knowledge that He exists. Let's get some song to sing. Oh, if we were to study the breadth of God and who He is, I picture, as it were, the Chinese wall. I don't know how long. You know, there's places that wall in China is not is tore down, or they build a section here and then they didn't finish it and they built another section, and there's a lot of that wall that's not tied together. But I don't know how long the continuous portion of that wall is, how many miles. But I see someone, as it were, to walk and to try to figure out the breadth of God, looking, as it were, for some crack somewhere where one could say that, as it was, a wall stopped. And where would we look? No doubt. Anyone that would know anything of construction would look at the footing, would we not? At the base of that wall. But I would encourage you that you might look up. That in your attempt to focus on the breadth of who God is, you've not seen how high He is. You've not seen to what depth He will go. What manner of man that would make a 14-day journey to Holland? 10 days of it on sea so rough that the seafaring sailors said all is at loss. and to live there in Holland in poverty, and to have a preacher say, there is this place called America. But you know, I've got sick out on the Chesapeake Bay before, just on a little choppy water. And the first thing I'd want to know is, how far is the journey? If it's not farther than 14 days, I might be able to make it. Oh, but Daryl, it's much farther. But what would carry Daryl to a new land is that the God that had his hands on that tiny little ship could have his hands on a bigger ship on a farther journey. The God we serve is the creator of this universe. He has the answer to our problem. Let us pray. Let us live a life that our lives would persuade men, though we would lose all use of our tongue. Go ahead. Many times this Christian life is not easy. And the fiery trials, though they would melt us, is for a purpose. The Bible likens it to purified gold. But if we had not God, we would just melt and run in the ashes. But because we are God's, that the fiery trials purifies us.